Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. Let me ask a question to all of you HR leaders out there. I know that when it's time for you to become more data-driven, when it's time for you to put together those reports or dashboards, you're using messy spreadsheets that are painful, time-consuming, and frustrating. And I know you've been scratching your head thinking there must be a better way. Well, guess what? There is. That's why Employee Cycle created your very own people dashboard with pre-built API connectors to the most popular systems that you're all using. Systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Greenhouse, 15.5, Office Vibe, Reflective, TriNet, ADP, you name it. You can connect all your different systems across your entire HR tech stack into the people dashboard to be able to pull all your data to view, track, share, and analyze from one place. Go to employeecycle.com to check us out, learn more. You can schedule a demo. Would love to chat with you and learn how we can help you make smarter workforce decisions. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show Dan Myers. He's the VP of People and Culture at Symphony Media. And today we're going to discuss how HR can leverage OKRs to increase employee performance. Dan, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Dan, welcome!
Thank you.
Thanks for making some time to chat with us today, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Interestingly enough, I was retiring from the Army, and I saw a need for further leadership development and an operational focus within the discipline of HR, and it just kind of led me to where I am.
Got it. So today we're talking about OKRs and how HR can use them and increasing employee performance. But anytime we use an acronym or some type of methodology that companies are using that's really hot at the time, maybe even buzzworthy, but a lot of people may not understand exactly what that means, I always like to break it down for our audience. So can you give your definition, description, and context around OKRs, what they are, and why a company should use them?
Yeah, so when we look at objectives and key results, it's really a focus on bigger picture. And it's always aligned to what the department or company is ultimately trying to achieve. Your SMART goals are more focused around your job description or specifically what you're doing as an individual. Objectives and key results get us focused on how to drive the business forward. And it's really a series of deliverables that inches towards that ultimate goal without creating volatility by things drastically changing every time the business shifts.
Got it. And in your experience, who typically manages the OKR creation process?
Really, the creation process needs to occur employee and the manager aligning to those upper echelons in which they support. HR should only be managing the process itself, not setting the deliverables required by those departments and those individuals that support them.
So in my understanding, the way that OKRs work is almost like a waterfall method where you start off with one or a few OKRs, which are your broader goal for the entire organization. And then similar to a waterfall, they roll down to each lower level of the organization so that everyone's OKRs are directly tied to the OKR in theory above them, correct?
Yeah, but I would argue that it's almost a reverse cascade. It needs to start out once those company or department objectives are identified, starting with the team and the individual level to identify how in their role can they best support that objective and how they're actually going to, how they can achieve it from their level of responsibility and build up towards those upper echelon objectives versus cascading them down.
Got it. And what are some of the ways that you can actually enforce OKRs to really hold people accountable. Because we've seen, as we talk to different companies, that a lot of employees won't actually keep up with the status of their OKRs. And so I'm curious, how do you view that experience?
So it's really just talking to your folks and defining what are the deliverables that they can achieve versus the overall objective itself, right? Because we need to break it down into chunks. And so there's a tangible deliverable that each employee is working towards, and that allows the manager to really steer performance towards that ultimate objective. The second piece is frequent coaching and feedback. Okay, the OKR model is designed that managers and employees should be regularly speaking about that on a frequency that matches when that deliverable needs to be met. And I think where a lot of it fails or we fail to update is because those conversations aren't happening on that regular basis. Those conversations should be steering or course correcting along the way. And ultimately, when those deliverables are achieved, we know we're that much closer towards the ultimate objective.
And when companies are implementing OKRs, is it the same process across all departments? And do you think that it's applicable across all industries?
Yeah, absolutely. I've implemented in three different industries, and it's all had the same results. As long as there's a focus on conversations between the manager and the employee, and the fact that we're focusing on deliverables, not tasks, where that volatility begins and where things start to spiral is when we set key results as tasks versus the end result. So if, you know, just for a hypothetical, if I'm saying that I've got to build a lunar module that weighs 4,000 pounds, that's my deliverable. It's not, I've got to identify what kind of tires I need, what type of metal should be included in this thing. All these little tasks, yes, they're important, but if I keep it at that higher level of the ultimate deliverable, that reduces that volatility and it empowers both employees and managers to identify what is the best way to actually achieve this thing that I need to present.
Got it. So as we're talking about OKRs and being aligned to employee performance, I would like to get your take on what's the difference between OKRs and performance management, similar to how I've had other guests on the podcast say that there's a lot of overlap between culture surveys and engagement surveys, and people use them interchangeably. I see a lot of people that are confused or using OKRs and performance management interchangeably. So what's the difference between the two and where do they overlap?
So, you know, I would argue that performance management is its own ecosystem, right? There's multiple pieces that make up performance management. But what's traditionally been found is an end of year or even twice a year report card on what you've accomplished, basically focused on either individual goals that may or may not align to where the company is headed, or they're based on your job description itself. OKRs basically state that your job description becomes table stakes. It's all about how you are improving processes, achieving company objectives, or simply just enhancing the business as a whole, right? And so when we look at it from that aspect, OKRs really look to drive results where goals are more of a report card, right? If you're looking behind you, you're not driving anything. OKRs, it's maybe 20% looking at what's been achieved and 80% focusing on the future. How are we actually going to get to this point? Does that make sense or am I rambling?
No, it does. It does. I appreciate that context. And so now let's bring this full circle back to the topic as we're discussing how HR can help to leverage OKRs to increase employee performance, which is where we want to live in the intersection between. So what does that look like for someone like yourself, head of people and culture, to leverage your OKR process to increase, and I'm assuming to hold employees accountable for their performance?
Yeah, so what that looks like for me is, one, really working with managers and employees to ensure that they don't resort to task orientation. Right. As soon as we move into tasks, it slows the train down, first of all. Second, we have to continue to challenge ourselves. So we need to focus on aspirational things, not necessarily tied to a specific quarter or even a year, and continuing to encourage those frequent coaching conversations that need to occur to continue to drive that performance forward, so that we're actually enhancing what the company is trying to achieve.
You said you don't want to get bogged down in task orientation. Tell me a little bit about that, because as we're talking about topics on the podcast, I really like to get into potential pitfalls that we could help listeners avoid.
Yeah. So when we start setting key results that are a weekly meeting to check on something, or we're singularly focused on one little thing that maybe doesn't necessarily move towards the deliverable that we want to achieve, That's a commonality that I've seen throughout many companies, in which if we focus on those tasks, it doesn't give us the ability to adapt as things change in our environment. And if we can't adapt, now we're creating volatility. I can't talk today. And we're not moving towards that overall deliverable that we want to achieve. By picking our head up a little bit and focusing on the deliverable itself, one, it empowers our employees and our managers to find new and better solutions to still achieve that deliverable. And two, it opens things up so that when the company does shift, we don't lose sight of the ultimate prize. We're just finding a new way to do it.
So we like to make things as actionable as possible, so our listeners can leave with some type of framework or roadmap to potentially follow. Because one of the hardest things that I've found, or one of the things that I found when it comes to HR, is that a lot of people will be stuck because they just don't know where to start. And so in order to make this thing work, if someone is listening to you, hanging on to every word, and they would like to implement a process in regards to what you're doing, where would they start? Would they start with making sure that the OKR process is being followed and managed correctly? Should they start by reevaluating their employee performance management process? What should they be doing in order to make this happen?
I'd say it's focusing on the OKR process itself. You know, once those company objectives and thus the department objectives are identified, it's working with employees and managers to determine what is it in their world, in their role, that they can actually achieve on their own. One of the problems with even traditional goal setting is an employee gets a goal cascaded to them that they can't achieve fully on their own. They can only go so far, and then they have to depend on somebody else to get the rest of the way to finish that goal as it's written. It's sitting down with employees, making sure employees understand both the department and the company objectives, and reflecting on how they fit into that picture and what their role can handle to help support it, and then building it up that way. I think if HR leaders focus on that piece, the performance management part takes care of itself.
Got it. And what if your company is not using OKRs, but you're thinking about adopting them, or you're trying to get executive buy-in? What should that look like? And what's the lens and the perspective that an HR person can come from to adopt this internally at their company?
I think it's really a comparison of what the report card model has done for performance in the past versus examples of how moving to actionable deliverables can help support whatever those company objectives are in a more timely manner. If you think about it, traditional goal setting, you want to get from point A to point B. You might get there eventually, but it's not necessarily the most efficient path. By setting those key results or deliverables along that path, it's allowing for more points to course correct or steer performance to achieve an efficiency in hitting that goal. And I think HR leaders can show that very easily just by taking the company objectives and setting some example deliverables about how you could get to that objective that much faster if you had those checkpoints or milestones in between.
And I think this would be a time to actually dig into what could OKRs look like for an HR department themselves. How could an HR department, and how are you overseeing the people and culture team looking at OKRs for how you're looking to align with the overall goals and objectives of the company?
Sure. So, like any HR department, you can throw everything into just a few buckets, right? It's employee development, it's creating efficiencies and process, it's probably performance management because that becomes a big part of our job. Just a few simple buckets like that. And if you think about that, those are objectives. Objectives are qualitative, right? How am I going to improve efficiency within my own department? How am I going to improve overall company performance? And then when I start looking at the deliverables or key results that support those, that's when we get into how are we going to more effectively do talent review? How are we going to increase efficiency through automation or systems or onboarding, things like that. So it's very easy to actually identify what those key results look like, because even at that deliverable standpoint, if I say I'm going to implement a better way to review talent within the organization, that's still leaving me open. So as I'm building out those projects, whether it's creating a better 9 box, it's creating a better meeting process to actually discuss what talent needs to look like, whatever that is, it doesn't lock me in. I know I still have a deliverable of creating of better reviewing talent, but as things shift or as the culture accepts something over something else, I can still maintain my vision of improving the review of talent without totally having to change, the deliverable itself. I'm just switching from one set of tasks to another.
And then my last question, as HR is always looking to be perceived as more strategic, more thoughtful, and one of the areas that we're helping with is becoming more data-driven, I'm curious, when you're using OKRs, especially as a people leader, is there an opportunity to build a stronger foundation between you and the CEO or the leadership team based off of OKRs? And if it is, then what does that look like?
Absolutely, because as you're monitoring how those deliverables are being accomplished, you can directly tie that back to impact towards that CEO's goals themselves, right? If I take an operational department and I see that they're, 50% towards the deliverables of, say, increasing margin by 10%, I can go back to the CEO and definitively say, look, they have done X, Y, and Z that has improved efficiency and reduced cycle time that is ultimately impacting your margin in this area. And because you can show that to him, now you're adding instant value because it's impacting what he thinks is most important. And that's why he set those goals to begin with. So it gives you an instant read on how much he's actually improving throughout the year or throughout whatever that time period is, based on the things that have been achieved. And you can easily see that in the deliverables that have been completed.
Dan, thanks so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. And I'd love to have guests on the show to really talk about the strategy of HR itself, especially as HR is looking to become as strategic to organizations as possible. So thanks so much for such a thoughtful conversation.
Woo! Go, Dan! Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So where can people find you and Symphony Media online?
You can find us at symphonymediaai.com.
Awesome. And we'll definitely include that in the show notes. So if you enjoy listening to this interview, then please leave us a 5-star rating. We love for you to tell us how you like the show. And if you didn't like it, that's fine. You can keep that to yourself. We only want great reviews. No, just kidding. You can leave whatever review you want because it makes us better. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and now you're hungry for more interviews, then please go to employeecycle.com and subscribe to our podcast newsletter. Or you can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players and subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast. And last but not least, all of you awesome, amazing HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.